So we are well represented here. If you're born in the United States, raise your hand. Okay. Didn't want to forget that one. All right. We're glad that you're with us this morning. So why don't we just open our service with a word of prayer. So I'll ask that you bow with me as we commit our service to the Lord. Avinu Shabbat Shemayim, our Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We're glad for all that you have done. We're glad that you have brought Shira to this season in her life, the sacred season where she would commit her life to you. We thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here this morning. Lord, we just pray that you would bless the service and that you would meet with us in a powerful way this morning. Lord, I pray for Nate and Josh as they would lead us in worship this morning. And we're just glad here to be in your assembly this morning. We pray this B'Shem Yeshua. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand or speak. How's everyone doing today? All right, we're still making it. We're so honored to be here. Thank you for your parents are so proud of you. Let's just worship, clap our hands, and sing the Lord together.
Praise the Lord. Your hair together.
Shout out to God for the voice of the dragon. Thank you. Think he made it. He made it. He made it.
He
hear him.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you to Nate Benjamin and his brother Josh. We're glad to have them here with us. They are from Montreal via Philadelphia. They've been in Philadelphia for a number of years, and they lead worship at their congregation, Beth Yeshua, in Philadelphia. And also, Nate has led worship at Messiah Conference every year in Grantham, Pennsylvania, once a year. It's a yearly conference that takes place in July for 1 week. We're glad that you guys could be with us. Okay, we're going to continue our service in our traditional liturgy, and I invite you to take our Beth Messiah Siddur in hand. And would you turn with me to page 1 as we recite the Shema as a declaration of the oneness of our God and also as the watchword of our people, Israel. Some people are in the habit of standing for Shema. You do not have to. You just stood for a long time, so you're welcome to sit, and I will ask you to rise at the appropriate place. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto Leolam Vaed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be the name of his glorious kingdom forever and ever. Amen. Let's continue with Vehavta, which is taken from Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 and following. It says there, and you shall love the Lord with all your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. You can find that in the Hebrew at the bottom of page 1 and in the English transliteration at the middle of page 2. Vehavta et Adonai Elohecha v'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol miyodecha. V'hayu hadvarim ha'ela asher anochi mitzavcha hayom al levavecha. V'shinantam levanecha v'divarta bam v'shivtecha b'veitecha u'vlechtecha v'derech u'shochtecha u'vkumecha. U'kshartam liot al yadecha v'hayu letota fot b'neinecha. U'chtavtam al mezizot b'teicha u'visharecha. L'ma'an tizkeru v'asitam et kol mitzvotai V'yitem kiroshim l'Elohechem, ani Adonai Elohechem, asher hotzeiti etchem me'eretz Mitzrayim, liyot lachem l'Elohim, ani Adonai Elohechem, Adonai Elohechem. Amen. Now let's all join together in the English translation at the bottom paragraph on page 2. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. So may you remember and do all my commandments and be holy for your God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Let's continue with the congregational singing of Mi Chamocha at the middle of page 3 in your Siddur.
Mi Chamocha Ba'elim Adonai, Mi Chamocha Nedar Bakodesh, Nora Tehilot Osefeleth.
Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, working wonders? And now I'd like to ask if the congregation would please rise for the Amidah, which you'll find on page 3 in the Hebrew and at the bottom of page 4 in the English transliteration.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu v'Elohei Avoteinu, Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzhak, Elohei Yaakov.
Ha'el ha'gadol ha'gibor v'hanora, el elyon, gomel chasadim tovim, v'konei ha'kol, v'zocher chasdei avot, u'mevi go'el ivnei v'neihem, le'man shemo bi'ahava, melech ozer u'moshia u'magen, baruch atah Adonai, magen Avraham, Atagi borli olam Adonai, mechaye meitim atarav lehoshia, mechalkel chayim bechesed, mechaye meitim berachamim rabim, somech noflim, verofe cholim, umatir asurim, umekaye memunato, lishene afar, michamoha ba'agilurot, Umi domelach, melech nemitu mechayeh, umatzmiach Yeshua, v'ne'eman atah lehachayot meitim. Baruch atah Adonai, mechayeh hameitim. Amen. And please join with me in the English translation at the second to last paragraph on page 5. Praised are you, O Lord our God, and God of our fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, great, mighty, and awesome God, supreme over all. You are abundantly kind, creator of all things. Remembering the piety of our ancestors, you lovingly bring a redeemer to their children's children for your name's sake. You are the King, helper, savior, and shield. Blessed are you, O Lord, shield of Abraham. You are mighty forever, O Lord. You bring to life the dead. You are mighty to save. You sustain the living with loving kindness, and with great mercy you bestow eternal life upon the dead. You support the falling, heal the sick, free the captives. You keep faith with those who sleep in the dust. Who is like you, Almighty God? Who can be compared to you, O Master over life and death, source of salvation? You are faithful in granting life to the departed. Blessed are you, O Lord, who confers life upon the departed. Amen. And at this time, we continue with the service for the taking out of the Torah. And at this time, I'm going to invite our bat mitzvah to come join me on the bima here in front of the ark. And would you please turn to the middle of page 6 as we continue with Vayehi bin Soa Ha'aron. Vayehi bin Soa Ha'aron, Vayomer Moshe, Kum Adonai, Ve'yafutsu Oyvecha, Ve'yanusu Misanecha, Mipanecha, Ki Mitzion, Teitze Torah, Ki Mitzion, Teitze Torah, Udevar Adonai, Mirushalayim, Baruch Shenatan, Torah, Torah, Baruch Shenatan, Torah, Torah, Le'amo Yisrael, Pikdushato. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered. Let those who hate you flee from before you. For out of Zion shall come forth Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
Shema Yisrael,
Echad Eloheinu, Gadol Adoneinu, Kadosh Shemo. God alul Adonaiti, Unirom Emashemo Yachdav. You may be seated. Today is Parshat Vayera. And our Torah reading this morning is in Genesis chapter 22. We'll be reading Akedat Yitzchak, the Binding of Isaac, and you can find that in your Bat Mitzvah booklet on page 2, at the top of the page. Ya'amod Yosef Baruch ben Yaakov Kopel Rishon. The first aliyah is given to Uncle Joel.
Eloheinu melech ha'olam, asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim, v'natan lanu es Torah so, baruch ata Adonai, na'asein ha'torah.
Amen v'yihi, achar ha'dvarim ha'ele v'ha'elohim nisa et Abraham, v'yomer elav Abraham, ayomer hineini, v'yomer kachna, et binecha, Ad Yechidecha Asher Ahavta Ad Yitzchak Belech Lecha El Eretz Amoria Beha'alei Husham Le'olah Alachad ha'arim asher omar elecha, vayashkem Abraham b'boker, vayachavosh et chamoro, vayikach et shnei ne'arav ito, ve'et Yitzhak b'no, vayivaka ase olah, vayakom vayelech, el hamakom asher amar lo ha'elohim.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher nachanu lanu Torah semes v'chayei olam atah b'zochenu. Baruch atah Adonai, nasein haTorah.
Amen. Ya'amor Hillel Ephraim ben Yaakov Kopel Sheini, and the second Aliyah is bestowed on Uncle Hillel. He's Shira's uncle, by the way, not my uncle.
Baruch
Adonai Baruch Yolam Vaed.
Baruch Adonai Baruch Yolam Vaed. Baruch Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Asher b'chayei olam mikol ha'amim. V'nasen lanu et Torah. Baruch Adonai nasein haTorah.
Amen. Vayom ha'shlishi, vayisa Avraham et einav, vayared hamakom merachok, vayomer Avraham el ni'arav, shvu lachem po imachamor, v'ani v'ana'ar nelcha ad koh, v'nishtachavev v'nashuv aleichem, vayikach Avraham et atzei ha'olah, vayasher v'yitzchak beno, vayikach b'yado, et ha'esh v'et ha'machelet, v'yelchu shneihem yachdav, v'yomer Yitzchak, el Abraham aviv, v'yomer avi, v'yomer hineni v'ni, v'yomer, hinei ha'esh v'ha'etzim, v'ayei ha'seh le'olah, v'yomer Abraham Elohim, yirelo ha'seh le'olah b'ni, Vayelchu shneihem yachdav.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam, asher nachanu lanu Torah semes v'chayei olam atah b'zochenu. Baruch atah Adonai nasein haTorah.
Ya'amod Yaakov Binyamin, Menitzchak Matityahu Shlishi, and the third Aliyah is bestowed upon Brother Jacob.
Baruch et Adonai HaVorach.
Baruch Adonai HaVorach Le'olam Va'ed.
Baruch Adonai HaVorach Le'olam Va'ed. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim V'Natan Lanu Et Torato. Baruch Atah Adonai Notein HaTorah.
Amen. Vayavo el makom asher amar lo ba'Elohim. Vayiven sham Avraham et hamizbeach. Vayaroch et ha'etzim. Vayakod et Yitzchak beno. Vayasem oto al mizbeach mima'al ha'etzim. Vayishlach Avraham et yado. Vayikach et ha'machelet lishchot et beno. Vayikra elav malach Adonai min ha'shamayim. Vayomer Avraham Avraham, Vayomer Hineni, Vayomer Al Tishlach Yadcha El Hanar, Yal Ta'as Lo Me'uma, Ki Ata Yadati, Ki Yirei Elohim Ata Ve'lo Chasachta, Tak binachat yechidacha mimeni. Vayisa Avraham et einav. Vayar v'hineya yilachar. Nehaz basbach bikarnav. Vayelech Avraham ayikach et ha'ayil. Vayalehu li'olat ha'at b'no. Vayikra Avraham. Shem ha'makom ahu Adonai yireh. Asher ye'amer hayom. Behar Adonai yireh.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Natalanu Torah Emet V'chaye Olam Nata V'tokheinu Baruch Ata Adonai Notein HaTorah.
Ta'amon ha-bachura ha-bat mitzvah, Shira Gabriela bat Ya'ak, bat Yitzchak Matityahu, ha-maftir. And at this time, I call forward our bat mitzvah, Shira Salzman.
Baruch Hu Adonai Amborach.
Baruch Adonai Amborach Leolam Vaed.
Baruch Adonai Amborach Leolam Vaed. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim Benatan Lanu Et Torato. Baruch Ata Adonai Notein HaTorah.
Amen.
Vayehi acharei hadvarim ha'ela vayukav le'Avraham le'mor hineh yelda milka gam banim l'nachor ahicha et ut bechoro v'yetuz achiv v'ekimuel avi aram v'yet kesev v'yechazo Dear Piyodosh, Bidibab, Dear Bituel, Ubituel, Yalvadat Rivka, Shmona Ela, Yadamilka, Lenachor, Achi Abraham, Ufilachu, Ushmar Uma, Vatele Gamhi, Etava, Beetaham, Beetahash, Beetma Acha. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Natan Lanu Torah Emet V'chaye Olam Nata B'tochinu Baruch Ata Adonai Notein HaTorah.
Amen. And at this time I call forward Aunt Sarah Denor, who will read the English of our Torah portion this morning, which you can find on page 3.
Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took into his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it will be provided."
Ya'amor ha'magbia, ya'amor ha'golel. And at this time, the honor of lifting the Torah goes to Uncle Stephen Galili, and the honor of addressing the Torah to Uncle Tzachi Danor. If the Torah is lifted, please stand and sing with me at the bottom of page 9. Vizot ha-Torah asher samoshe livnei b'nei Yisrael al-pi Adonai b'yad Moshe. And please join with me at the top of page 10 in the singing of Eitz Chaim Hi. Eitz Chaim Hi, lama chazikim ba, v'tomcheha meushar, deracheha darcheinu. Vatiha shalom hashivenu Adonai Elecha v'nashuva chadesh. Chadesh yameinu kekedem. It is a tree of life to those who hold fast to it, and everyone who upholds it is happy. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace. Turn us to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. You may be seated. And our Haftorah this morning, which will be chanted by Shira, is found in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 37. You can find that in the Hebrew in your Bat Mitzvah booklet on page 4. And Shira will chant her blessing before, then her Haftorah, and the blessings afterwards. So please give Shira your attention.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Bachar Bim Deim Tovim Beratzav Divrehem Haneemarim Be'emet. Baruch Ata Adonai Habocher Batorah Moshe Abdo, Ubi Israel Amo, Ubi Nbiye Ha'emet Vatedek. Ve'isha Achat Minishe V'nei Hanbe'im Sa'akat Elisha Lemor Avdecha Ishi Meit V'yata Yadata Ki Avdecha Hayayare Et Adonai Behanushe Ba Lakachat Et Shinei Yeladai Lo La'avadim. Vayomer Eloha Elisha, Ma Eselach, Agidili, Ma Eshlach Babaye, Vatomer Ein, Lashikhat Chacho, Babaye, Ki Imasuch Shamen, Vayomer Lechi, Sha'alilach Kilim, Minachut, מאיכו שכינייך, כלים ריקים, עוד עמיתי, ובאת, וסגרת הדלת בדך, וביד בנייך, ויצאת, עוקו הכלים האלה, והמלא תעשי. ותלך מאיתו, ותזכור הדלת, בדה וביד בניה, הם מגישים אליה, והיא מוצקת. ויהי כמות הכלים, ותאמר אל בנה, הגישה אל היות, כלי, ויאמר אליה, אינות כלי, ויאמר השמן, ותבוא, ותגד לאיש האלוהים, ויאמר, לכי מכי את השמן, ושלמי את נשך, ביד ובנייך, תחי בנותר. Vayehi hayom vayavor Elisha el shunem Vesham isha gedola Batachazek bo le'echol lachem Vayehi midei avro Yasur shama le'echol lachem Vatomer Elisha, hinina yadati, ki ish olim kadoshu, over aleinu tamid. Naasena aliyat kir, kitana, benasim, lo shamita, v'shuchan v'chise, u'menora v'haya. Bivo eleinu yasur shama Vayehi hayom vayavo shama Vayasar el ha'aliyah vayishkav shama Vayomer el gechazi na'aro Kira lashunamit hazot Vayikra la batamod lifanav Vayomer lo, emer na eleha, hine charedet eleinu, ekol ha-charada hazot, me lasot lach, hayesh lidaber lach, el ha-melech, o el sar ha-tava, vatomer, bitoch ani, Anochi et shavet Vayomer Umelasot la Vayomer kechazi Ava Ben ima Ve'isha zakein Vayomer Kirala Vayigrala Vata'amot Rifbapatach Vayomer Lamoed hazeh ka'eich haya achovek etein Vatomer al Adoni ish ha'alim al tichazeh b'shichatecha Vatahar ha'isha v'teilut bein Lamoed hazeh ka'eich haya Asher diber Eloha Elisha. Vayigdol hayolid, vayihi hayom, vayitse el aviv, el hakodrim. Vayomer el aviv, roshi, roshi, vayomer el hanar, zaehu elimo. Vayisa ehu, vayibehu el imo, vayeshev obir keha, ad hatarayim vayamot. Vata'o, vatashivehu, amitat isha Elohim, vatizkor ba'ado, vatitze. Vatikra Elisha. Vatomer shilcha nali echa min ha-na'arim v'yachat ha-atonot v'arusa arisha Elohim v'ashuva v'yomer madua ad holechet elav Hayom lo chodesh v'lo shabbat v'tomer shalom v'tach havosh ha'aton v'tomer el na'ara nehag v'alech al ta'atar li lirkov ki im amarti lach v'telech v'tavo Elisha Elohim Ahar HaKarmel Vayehi Kirot Isha Elohim mota mimeni vayomer el kechavin aro hinei ashunamid halach. Ata Ruth na likrata ve'emar lach hashalom lach hashalom le'ishe hashalom le'yalet vatomer shalom vatavot el Yisraelim el ahar vatachazek birat lach Vayigash kechazi lechatva Vayomer ish ha'elim harpela Ki nafsha marala Vadonai elim imeni Velo yigit li Vatomer Hasha'oti vein me'et aduni Oh, amarti lo tashlei oti. Vayom eleke chazi chagor matnecha. Bekach nishanti vircha. Valech ki timta ish lo tevachenu. Vechi evarechecha ish lo ta'anenu. Visamta mishanti opinei hanar. Vatomer em hanar chay Adonai behinashacha imezeka vayakam vayilch achareha. Viki chazit avar lifneihem Vayashem et ha-mishenet opinei ha-na'ar Ve'ein ko ve'ein kashev Vayashev likrato Vayagelo le'mor Lo hekit ha-na'ar Vayabo el-isha ha-baita Ve'hinei ha-na'ar Me'i mushkav o-mitato Vayavo, vayizkor hadelet ba'ashinehem, vayitpalel el Adonai. Vayal, vayishkav al hayelet, vayasem, piv al piv, ve'inav al einav, ve'chapav al kapav, vayikar alav. Vayacham bisar hayalet. Vayashav vayilch v'bayis achat hina v'yachat hina. Vayal vayikar alav vayizurer hanar ad shichat ha'amim vayizkach hanar et einav. Vayikra el kechavi, vayomer kira el ha-shunamit hazot, vayikra eha batavod elav, vayomer se'iv enech, vatavo vatipol haraglav, vatishtachu arza, vatisa epina, vatese.
The blessings after the Haftorah can be found in our Siddur on page 11.
Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech ha'olam Tzur kol ha'olamim Tzadik b'chol ha'dorot Ha'el ha'neman ha'omer v'yoseh ha'midaber u'merkayen shekol divarav emet batzedek Ne'eman atahu Adonai Eloheinu v'ne'emanim divarecha, vidavarechad, nidvarecha, achor lo yashuv, reikam, ki el melech, ne'eman v'rachaman ata, baruch ata Adonai.
Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo.
Ha'el ha'ne'eman b'chol divarav.
Amen.
Rachem al Tzion, ki yivet hayenu, v'la aluvat nefesh koshia, b'mera v'yameinu. Baruch Ata Adonai.
Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo.
Misameach Zion, Bivaneha.
Amen.
Samechinu, Adonai Eloheinu, Be'Eliyahu Hanavi, Avdecha, Ubimachut Beit David, Mishichecha. Bimera yavo, vayagel, libeinu, okiso, lo yeshev zar, vilo yinchalu, od acherim, et kevodo, ki b'shem kachecha, nishbatolo, shelo yifbenero, leolam vayel. Baruch Ata Adonai.
Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo.
Magen David.
Amen.
Al HaTorah, Ve'al HaVodah, Ve'al HaMde'im, Ve'al Yom HaShabbat Hazeh, Shana Tata Lanu, Adonai Eloheinu. Lekdusha v'lim necha, lechavod u'tifaret. Al hakol Adonai Eloheinu, anachnu modim lach, u'mevarechim otach, yitbarach shimcha, b'fi kol chai matamid, le'olam v'ed, baruch ata Adonai.
Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo.
Mekadesh ha-Shabbat.
Amen. And at this time, I'm going to ask Aunt Sarah to come forward. She'll read the English for this morning's Haftorah portion, which you can find in your Bat Mitzvah booklet on page 6.
One of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." And he said, "Go, borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Do not get a few. And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not one vessel more." And the oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest." Now, there came a day when Elisha passed over to Shunem, where there was a prominent woman, and she persuaded him to eat food. And so it was, as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat food. She said to her husband, "Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God passing by us continually. Please, let us make a little walled upper chamber, and let us set a bed there for him, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand. And it shall be, when he comes to us, that he can turn in there." One day he came there and turned into the upper chamber and rested. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call the Shunammite." And when he had called her, she stood before him. He said to him, "Say now to her, 'Behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Would you be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the army?'" And she answered, "I live among my own people." So he said, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Truly she has no son, and her husband is old." He said, "Call her." When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, "At this season next year, you will embrace a son." And she said, "No, my lord, O man of God, do not lie to your maidservant." The woman conceived and bore a son at that season, the next year, as Elisha had said to her. When the child was grown, the day came that he went out to his father, to the reapers. He said to his father, "My head, my head." And he said to his servant, "Carry him to his mother." When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her lap until noon and then died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door behind him and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, "Please, send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and return." He said, "Why will you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It will be well." Then she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Do not slow down the pace for me unless I tell you." So she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. When the man of God saw her at a distance, he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Behold, there is the Shunammite. Please run now to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?'" And she answered, "It is well." When she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught hold of his feet. Gehazi came to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone, for her soul is troubled within her, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." Then she said, "Did I ask for a son from my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Gird up your loins and take my staff in your hand and go your way. If you meet any man, do not salute him. And if anyone salutes you, do not answer him, and lay my staff on the lad's face." The mother of the lad said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." And he arose and followed her. Then Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff on the lad's face, but there was no sound or response. So he returned to meet him and told him, "The lad has not awakened." When Elisha came to the house, behold, the lad was dead and laid on his bed. So he entered and shut the door behind them both and prayed the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself on him, and the flesh of the child became warm. Then he returned and walked in the house once back and forth, and went up and stretched himself on him. And the lad sneezed 7 times, and the lad opened his eyes. Then he called Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her, and when she came to him, he said, take up your son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground, and she took up her son and went out.
And now Shira will share some of her thoughts on this morning's Torah reading with us, so please give your attention to her.
Today marks the transition from going from a child to an adult. From today on, I am responsible before God for my actions. Today, I am a bat mitzvah, a daughter of the covenant. To me, becoming a bat mitzvah is the start of a lifelong journey that has God at the center of it. It is a personal relationship with God. Through this morning's Torah portion, I was able to see and understand the attributes of a person that followed God. That's because God was their number one. God told Abraham to give his one and only son as a burnt offering to God. Imagine God telling you to kill the most important person in the world to you. Abraham must have been thinking, you promised that you would give me a son, and you did, and now you want me to kill my one and only son as a burnt offering? But Abraham didn't question God at all. He took Isaac to the mountain just as God has told him to. Just as Abraham was about to kill Isaac, the angel of the Lord said, do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now that I know that you fear God because you did not withhold your one and only son from me. This showed me that Abraham feared God and had an amazing amount of faith. He trusted God with his son's life. God was Abraham's number one. This got me thinking, is God my number one? Is he more important than anything or any person? Do I value his opinion above the world's? I know that God is worth surrendering all to, and especially when we consider that he surrendered all when he gave Yeshua to die for our sins. As a bat mitzvah, I am striving to make God's priorities my priorities and obey his commandments. God also rewards those who fear and love him above all. Just like he did when he made Abraham's descendants as many as the stars. I also now know that God will provide even in the most difficult of situations, as he did with the ram and the thicket. As a bat mitzvah, I am trying to apply what I've seen in this morning's Torah portion to my everyday life and grow in my faith towards God. As a bat mitzvah, I would also like to take this opportunity to thank people who have helped me leading up to this point in my life. First, I would like to thank all my friends and family who came from all over to support me here today. I would especially like to thank my Aunt Sarah and Uncle Tzachi, who came from Israel, my cousins Paula and Jill, who came from Toronto, the Koenigsbergs, Edwards and Mundys, who came from Maryland, the Koenigsbergs, who came from Miami, my Uncle Hillel, Joel, and family, who came from Montreal, my grandpa, who came from Pennsylvania, and my Uncle Stephen and Cousin Shimon, who came from upstate New York. And I would also like to thank everyone who came from far and near. I also would like to thank my parents for always being here for me, even when I want to give up. Thank you all for supporting me on this day. Shabbat Shalom.
And at this time, it's the custom in our congregation where the parents make their remarks to and about their daughter. And so I had a few things that I wanted to share about Shira. By the way, one of the greatest days in my life was the day my son Jacob was born. He was my little sweetie Petey. That's what I called him. Okay, no reflection on him. Okay, but he was so small, he was so fragile, but he was a beautiful boy. And I looked at him with such love, a love that defies description. And we went to hockey games together and did father and son type things all the time. But as both Adam and God observed after the first man's creation, something was missing. Hence God created Eve, the woman, for the man. And then God declared about his creation that it was no longer just Tov, but it was Tov Me'od. Very good. Well, things were told, but I always wanted a daughter, too. And when Shira was born,
My dreams were answered. It was not just an answer to my dreams and prayers, but she was a delightful little addition to our whole family. In fact, when I brought little 3-year-old Jacob to the hospital to see his little baby sister for the very first time, on the very first day of her life, he brought his bag of potato chips from home to share with her. All right, it's the thought that counts, right? It has long been believed that the name that parents name over their children has a prophetic aspect or prophetic element to it. In other words, what I mean by that is that children often develop characteristics in step with their name. Sure enough, when we chose the name Shira for our little girl, Shira being Hebrew for song, she quite literally became the song that lit up our home. Shira sang everywhere, all of the time. And she sings beautifully, I might add. She's the light that lights up any room she happens to be in. Shira is often the sunshine on an otherwise gray day. Over the years, some memories and some characteristics of Shira stand out for me. When Jacob was about 3 years old, and Shira was probably about 6 months, we had this standard family pre-bedtime ritual. Susan would brush Jacob's teeth, and she had this whole sing-song ritual down. And I would just hold Shira in my arms at the door to the bathroom and be watching Susan brush Jacob's teeth. And I started to say to Shira, I would say, "Give Daddy a kissy," which is Yiddish for kiss, okay? And immediately, upon saying those words, I would move in to kiss Shira on the lips. Well, this went on for weeks. And then one day I noticed that when I said, "Shira, give Daddy a kissy," Shira would actually start to pucker and move in toward my lips and give me a kiss. So I screamed in delight one night. I said, "Susan, I've taught Shira to kiss." Susan looks at me, she rolls her eyes, and says, "Come on now, she's only 6 months old. She doesn't know how to give kisses." So I say, "Oh yeah? Watch me." Okay? Now Susan's eyes are trained on me and Shira, and I say, "Shira, give Daddy a kissy." And sure enough, this little peanut swoops in for the kill and plants a kissy on my lips. Now, of course, it was closer to a lick than anything else. Okay? But I'll take that too, you know. But boy, was Susan ever surprised. Did I ever show her? Okay? But I must say that having Shira become Daddy's girl was not very easy. I had to work very hard, almost as hard as I had to work for Susan. Shira, you see, was firmly entrenched as Mommy's girl. She loved her mommy. So one time, Susan sent me in to attend to Shira, who was crying in her crib in the middle of the night, and Susan was really, really tired from getting up night after night to attend to Shira. So this one night, in the middle of the night, Shira's screaming and crying, and Susan says, "Irving, could you go in and check on her?" So I opened the door to Shira's room, and little Shira had been standing in her crib. The moment that I opened the door, she dropped to the mattress in a heap, and in an angry tantrum, she began screaming and crying 10 times louder than she had been. She wanted her mother. So my coming into her was the worst possible thing that could have happened as far as Shira was concerned. It was even worse if nobody had gone in to attend to her at all. Later, by the way, when Shira transitioned from crib to a real bed, she usually woke up earlier than anyone else in the house, and she would often come and make her way into our bedroom and our bed. And especially in the cold winter, she would snuggle up really close to me. And even though she was usually quite cold, I loved when she pressed her little tiny body against mine. I was okay with that. And I remembered that my dad was warm, too, when I was a little boy. Shira loved cooking and serving from a very young age. She may have been no more than 2 or 3 years old, and she had this toy oven with a cooktop stove. and she had this chef hat that was actually taller than Shira. Shira might have been about this high, and here's where the chef hat started, and it went about this high, right? And as Susan, Jacob, and I were watching TV on the couch, she would take this little pen and pad, and she would come over and take our orders. And then she would go back to her toy cook stove, and she would bring back these serving dishes, and she wouldn't move until you gave her your evaluation. And I always would say, delicious. And I think she was pretty happy with that. But to this day, she loves to cook, even though today her cooking is more in the realm of reality, and she is excellent and creative in the cooking department. Shira has always had a very sensitive and empathic heart for people. And Shira was a very, very good athlete when she was a young girl. She took to swimming. She had this powerful little body. Her little strokes could propel her through the water. She was also a very good soccer player, and she had a very strong kick. And so one day she was playing soccer, and she was playing against a team with one of her very best friends, who might even be here today, but I won't mention her name, okay? Who is also an extremely excellent athlete, by the way. And Shira was playing forward, and one of Shira's best friends was playing goalie. And the ball came to Shira. She took this powerful kick, and it went right through the goalie. And Shira's team was up 1-0. The next thing I see is that Shira's friend, the goalie, is crying her eyes out because she just let in a goal. Now, this is one of Shira's best friends. And Shira sees this, and Shira starts bawling her eyes out that she scored on her friend. And this game is in limbo because two girls are having a crying party about this goal that was scored. You know? But that's Shira. She has always had a very sensitive and empathic heart for people. She's always looking to come to the aid of the downtrodden and hurting. She wants to have a lot of children, a number of whom would be adopted. That is Shira's compassionate heart. And Shira, I would say to you, never stop being that way, because I love that about you. So I want to encourage you to put your big heart to use in the service of your God and in the service of your people. Shira is also very generous, and she is the one person in our household more than any of the rest of us that is always looking to lavish the rest of us with the most considerate, personal, and creative, and planned out birthday presents and gifts. Recently, I went to Japan, and before I did, Shira asked me, Dad, could you bring me home something, a present from Japan? Now, because of Shira's wonderful gift-giving tendencies, I really wanted to give her something special in return. So I got her this beautiful kimono and ribbon that ties around it, and a matching Japanese fan. And Shira wore that kimono around the house for parts of the next 3 days and told me how much she loved her kimono. So I felt a real sense of fulfillment. Mission accomplished. I think I nailed that present, didn't I, Shira?
Good.
Shira is quite the accomplished dancer, if you didn't know this. One year she was recruited to dance in the Indian dance at her school, Collins School Multicultural Fair. They had it once a year, and there was an Indian dance, and they had recruited Shira. And she was in full dress, complete with sari and all, and she mesmerized that night. She was all over the stage. And after that night, the ethnic Indian women who organized the dance never wanted to do another Indian dance without Shira. Susan and I thought a Bollywood star was born. Well, you really did a beautiful job today, Shira, and I am so proud of you. You, in the audience, might not know this, but over the years, I have taught many bar and bat mitzvahs here at Beth Messiah, and Shira has had the longest portion of anyone. Okay? Longest portion of any of the other kids I've ever trained, and she worked very hard to master her portion. So I just want you to know, Shira, how proud I am of you. You are the best daughter any father could have. You'll always be my song and my sunshine. Well, I love you. And those are my remarks. Can I trouble someone for a glass of water?
So, without comparing notes, Irving shared a lot of the things that were on my heart and captured who Shira is. But I just want to, Shira, I've told you many times that I also always wanted to have a girl. And I imagine that the girl that I would have would look like me, and I tell her, she's not really the girl I always thought I would have. But she's actually much, much better than I ever imagined. She was this little girl who entertained me all day long, and she would do all these funny things that just kept me laughing and joyful because she was so much fun and so funny. But one of the things that really separated Shira was her determination. She was this little determined girl, and when she wanted something or when she wanted to master something, she became extremely focused. And she was that little girl, when she was little and tiny, she would want to help. And she would take, when I was cooking, she would take a kitchen chair because she was too short, and she would push it up next to me, and she would insist on helping me. And it was the kind of thing where it would have been really much easier to do it myself, but I realized that it was her joy. She wanted to help. She wanted to learn. So I would often, she would be my master garlic peeler in the kitchen. When she was too young to hold a knife, and she would peel my garlic for me. And Shira, we have seen what you have accomplished this day. And the determination that went into that was huge. And it was many times not easy to have your father as your teacher or your mother as your drill sergeant. But I can't tell you how joyful I am for the daughter that God gave me and for your gifts and your talents that were exhibited today and that are being developed. You have the most generous heart. You get that from your Zadie Jack, and all your uncles and your daddy are very, very generous of heart. And you have that too. And you have such love and such a sensitive heart. So I would just encourage you, Shira, to continue in those things. Continue to develop those gifts. And with a sensitive heart, also continue to forgive, because somebody with a sensitive heart also can be hurt and wounded. But I see you, Shira, as becoming the strong woman of God that He created you to be. And I just want to tell you I'm so proud of you, and I love you so much.
At this time, the youngest children could go down to their classes as needed this time. In our Haftorah passage this morning, in 2 Kings chapter 4, we read of an unnamed woman who came to the prophet Elisha in desperation. And she is anonymous from the standpoint of the narrator. She is also anonymous to us, the reader. The text refers to her only as the wife of one of the wives of the sons of the prophets. She is one of those famous one-ofs in life, one of a zillion others, a statistic, a number. The inmates at the infamous Nazi death camp, Auschwitz-Birkenau, knew all about that. They, too, had been reduced to
and made to feel like a number in life. Everyone who disembarked the trains arriving on the ramp at Auschwitz-Birkenau and who wasn't immediately sent to the gas chambers was stripped of their clothes. They were stripped of their dignity. The hair on their head was completely shaved off and shorn, and they had a number tattooed onto their arm. They were given the same striped pajamas that everyone else had to wear, and they were crowded into cramped barracks where they were one of multitudes and multitudes of camp inmates. And just like that, they were reduced from a named and loved person who might have been a son or a daughter, or maybe a sister and a brother, a husband or a wife, a friend, and they were suddenly reduced and relegated to an identityless number tattoo on their arm. And their situation was nothing but desperate. They no longer had a name, they were a number. That is one of the reasons, by the way, why the famous Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem, Yad Vashem, is named as it is, to give those who perished in the Holocaust a hand and a name. Literally, Yad Vashem is a hand and a name. The woman in the first section of this morning's Haftorah was in dire straits. First, she had a family crisis on her hands. She was a widow. She had lost her husband, and in her ancient culture, there was no insurance policy for her to collect, no pension, no social security. She probably had no prospects of an income to support herself, and now the creditor was coming after her. The woman's husband had debt or loan obligations that he was no longer around to repay, and she had no assets to pay off the debt either. And the creditor was now coming after her children. He would confiscate them as indentured slaves or servants. So she faced the loss of her children, adding insult to injury for this woman who was already bereaved of her husband. But she didn't only have a family crisis. She was also suffering from a faith crisis. She reminded Elisha, "You yourself know that my husband, your servant, feared the Lord. He revered him. He committed his loyalty and allegiance to God, whose authority he respected." So the situation and the problem that she was now facing was a real struggle for her. And you could almost imagine the inner chatter that went on inside of her. How can this be? My husband was a committed, loyal follower of God. He served him in life, and he served him with his life. How is it that God could reward that by allowing my children to go into servitude at the hands of my husband's creditor? That makes no sense. Where is the justice in that? My husband entrusted himself to God's service. And so you would think that God would honor that service. But now the woman thought, I'm about to lose my children. Life in a cruel world can be a battleground for faith. So she makes this desperate appeal to Elisha. And so Elisha asks her, "What shall I do for you?" But I suspect that he already had a plan in mind, since he didn't wait for her to answer the question. And he asked her, "What do you have in your house?" And she answered, "Nothing but a small jar of oil." So he tells her to go to her neighbors and borrow all kinds of pots and containers, as many as she can. He says, don't skimp. Get as many as you can. And then he tells her to go back home, shut the door behind her and her sons, and pour out all the oil into the containers. And as each container was filled, she was to set that aside. So the widow complied. She did as she was told. She came back home, shut the door behind them, and as her sons kept bringing containers to her, she kept pouring the oil and filling them one by one. And finally, after filling one more container, she asked one of her sons to bring the next container. But he said, there are no more. They had exhausted all the containers that she had managed to scrape up from her neighbors. And at that moment, we're told that the oil stopped flowing. Then she came back and she told the man of God about it, who told her to go and sell the oil
And now, out of the proceeds of that sale, she was to pay off the creditor, and then he informed her and her sons that they would be able to live off the rest. They were free. Nes gadol hayasham. A great miracle happened there. You see, a widow with debts which she had no prospect for paying off was in danger of losing her children to a creditor, having no one else to whom she could turn. She cried out to Elisha, the leader and crown prince of Israel's prophet, and she made an urgent appeal to him. He pointed her to a small jar of oil that she had in her possession, and you know what? That was slim pickings. There wasn't much hope in that small jar of oil. Her salvation certainly was not to be found in that. But you know what? That small jar of oil poured and poured until it filled and became numerous containers of oil. So much oil, in fact, that out of it, she was not only able to pay off her creditor, but she and her sons would be set for life. They had it made. She had won the lottery, so to speak. The miracle of multiplication. Can I have another glass of water, Don? Forgive me. Thanks. The miracle of multiplication. Does that sound familiar? Well, it should. Because in roughly 165 BCE, a small band of guerrilla fighters in Israel, known as the Maccabees, wrested control of the temple in Jerusalem from the Syrian Greeks, an army much larger than they, who had both possessed the temple and defiled it. The few were victorious against the many. And then the Maccabees went about the task of cleansing the temple and rededicating it back to the service of the one true God of Israel. But they had one small problem. You see, there was a lampstand in the temple that was to continually illuminate the holy place. It was called the Ner Tamid, the eternal light. Thanks, Lynn. But they found a small jar of oil sufficient only to burn for one day. Further compounding things, it would have taken them a full 8 days before they could manufacture a fresh supply of oil. Tradition tells us that that jar of oil burned miraculously for 8 days until the new fresh supply could become available. The miracle of multiplication. There is a story of a time in the Gospels that Yeshua, Jesus, was teaching multitudes and crowds of people in an isolated wilderness place, far removed from civilization, and it had gotten late, and the crowds hadn't eaten. And it was too late to send them to go buy food because they were in a very remote location. So Yeshua asked his disciples to take a quick inventory of the food they had in their possession. And it turned out that they had the measly sum of 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish in their possession. Small change. It's like we say in French, bupkis. That wouldn't do when you're talking about feeding multitudes and multitudes of people, but Yeshua looked to heaven. He blessed the bread and the fish, and he instructed his disciples to start distributing it. And you could almost imagine the disciples' reaction. You've got to be kidding me, right? But by the time they stopped distributing the food, a crowd of 5,000 had been fed. And not only that, but 12 basketfuls of leftovers were collected. The miracle of multiplication. Believe it or not, God is able to take your and my puny limited resources, and he is able to miraculously multiply them so that they become sufficient to meet our need. But you and I need to be willing to come humbly to him and appeal to him. Now, I know there are a lot of people who need to be at the end of their ropes before they can do that. But come to God we must, if we need and want his help and miraculous provision. And we're to act in faith upon what he says to us. The widow did everything that the prophet told her to do, and she kept on pouring and pouring the oil. As I mentioned earlier, the widow in our text is anonymous to us, the reader. But I'll tell you this, She was not anonymous to the prophet Elisha, and she certainly was not anonymous to God. By the way, do you know what Elisha's name in Hebrew means? It's Hebrew for God is salvation. See, this widow recognized that the only one who could help her was God. She understood that salvation was to be found in God alone. Now, Elisha may have mediated and facilitated the miracle, but make no mistake about it, it was God who did that miracle. In fact, I am convinced that Elisha, in and of himself, had no inherent ability to multiply matter. No human does. Now, maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you have a great need in your life right now. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's an issue of finances. Maybe it's a relational issue. Maybe you've had some loss in your life, and like the widow, you might also feel like a number. And you know what? I bet if the widow had turned anywhere else, she might have been told, get in line, lady. Maybe you don't know where to turn to for your need. Maybe you feel small in the eyes of the world, or you feel like a statistic to the government, or to the legal system, or to the medical profession, or to the insurance companies. Maybe so. But let me tell you this. You are not anonymous to God. And God can multiply your limited and puny resources to miraculously meet your need. But you and I must take the initiative and come to Him just as the widow did in our Haftorah today. In the second portion of our Haftorah, we were introduced to a wealthy woman this time who lived in a town of Israel called Shunem, which is near Jezreel. And by the way, we don't know her name either. Like the poor widow, she too is anonymous, though she's commonly referred to as the Shunammite woman. She shows kindness and hospitality to Elisha, imploring that he eat a meal in her home. And that soon became a regular custom of Elisha's. Anytime that he would pass through the area, he would turn in to the woman's home for a meal. And perceiving Elisha to be an Ish Elohim, a man of God, she suggested to her husband that they build a furnished enclosed room, upper room on their rooftop, for him to use any time that he was in the area. So because of her kindness and the care and the hospitality that she extended to him, Elisha wanted to know what he could do in return for her. But she denied having any specific need. But then Elisha pressed his servant Gehazi if perhaps he could identify a specific need that she may have had. And his servant answered, she has no son, and her husband is old. The woman was barren, and childless in that culture was a real stigma. So Elisha summoned her, and he told her that next year, at this time of the year, you will embrace a son. And all she could say to him was, don't lie to me. Don't deceive me. But true to his words, the woman conceived, and she bore a son at the exact time of which Elisha had spoken. And you could almost imagine the joy that it must have been for that woman to realize a child when the prospects for the same were slim and nil. Hard to turn pages when you're holding a cup of water in one hand. So then one day, when the child had grown some, he wasn't that big, but he had grown some, and he went out to see his father, who was in the fields with the harvest workers. And then he started complaining to his father, my head, my head. So the father instructed his servant to carry the boy to his mother, and the servant did that. And he brought the boy to his mother, and he sat on her lap until noon. And then the text tells us that he died. So she desperately made her way back to Elisha the prophet, despite the attempts of several to hinder her. And once she got to Elisha, she allowed her guard to come down, and she revealed her extreme hurt and brokenness and sadness by saying, did I not tell you? Did I ask for a son? Did I not say, don't deceive me? Did I ask for you to give me a son? What she was really saying is this. Why would you give me the gift of a son and a child, only to take them away from me. Her pain is tangible in her words. You can feel it. I remember when my brother Joel and I were young, there was another family that attended our shul, our synagogue. They had two sons. The younger one was about a year younger than I, and about a year older than Joel. When the younger son turned 12 years of age, he was diagnosed with a malignant brain tumor. And it was not much later after that that he died as a result. And this was only days before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur of that year. And I still can't forget, to this day, the lasting image that I have of the parents that I have in my brain, of them sitting in the pews that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur with their pain so raw and so fresh. The father wore sunglasses to conceal his tears. And Gary's mother's face gave undeniable witness to the fact that she had been crying and bawling her eyes out for days upon days, her eyes being swollen with grief. And I remember my father telling me, he said, "Irving, there is nothing more tragic and painful for a parent than losing a child." Indeed, I would say there's nothing like the pain of having someone you love taken away from you. It's injustice. It's not fair. On September 1, 1939, the Nazis invaded Poland, and in rapid succession, they overran the country so that independent Poland became German-occupied Poland. Over the next few years, the Nazis would succeed in killing 90% of the more than 3 million Jews in Poland. There was no family unaffected by the Shoah or the Holocaust. The pain of losing loved ones was very real and experienced by everyone. One night in October, November of 1941, for instance, there was a knock on the door to my father's home. The Gestapo had come for Isaac, my father's oldest brother, and they told him that he was coming with them. And so they removed him from the home and from his family, who would never see him again. My father's favorite uncle, Uncle Sinai, and his wife and young children were lined up in front of a firing squad and were shot to death, my father being witness to it. In 1945, only weeks before the end of the war, my father, his mother, and two sisters had been hiding in a field, at the edge of which there was a clump of trees. It was a sunny afternoon, and they were all out gathering and foraging for food when they heard the boots of soldiers approaching. And at that point, each of them ran to the nearest tree to take cover. For some reason, my father's oldest sister, Sister Pessel, rose, got spooked or unnerved, and she ran in the opposite direction out into the open field. And my father, who sat perched in his tree branch, watched the soldiers shoot his sister to death, and she collapsed in a bloody heap near the edge of the field. By the way, in the summer of 2014, I saw with my own eyes the clump of trees in which my father hid. And I saw the spot in the field where my father's sister was shot to death. It is painful to have the things and people you love taken from you, especially prematurely. My grandmother, Velka, my father's mother, would regularly let this blood-curdling scream and cry in her sleep, even to the end of her life, many years later. For her, the pain was still very real. The nightmares were still fresh. The tragedies were very real and still felt. Or perhaps maybe you saw the heartbreaking video of the Syrian kids who lost their brother in a recent bombing attack on the city of Aleppo. There is nothing so painful as losing loved ones. The women in our Haftorah today remind us that believers, the faithful, living in the fallen world that we do, are not immune to the tragedies of life. Believers aren't promised, nor do they have any guarantee that they'll be spared from the horrors and troubles any more than non-believers are. But at least they have the assurance and encouragement that they have God to help them through. The scriptures say in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Would you believe that trials are actually an opportunity for God to work? We learn who God is in our pain and in our trials. When the nation of Israel was fleeing Pharaoh and the Egyptians, at a certain point they were trapped between their pursuers, the Egyptians and Pharaoh's army, and the Yam Suf, the Red Sea, or the Sea of Reeds. And so they were sitting dead ducks. But that was the moment that Moses said, Re'u Yeshuat Adonai, see the salvation of the Lord. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. So we met three different godly, faithful individuals in this week's readings that felt the pain either of losing their children that they love or the prospect of losing the children they love. Shira talked about Abraham, who was asked to sacrifice his son. And by the way, did you notice how the text said, kill your son, your only son, whom you love? Right? And Abraham was just about to go through with it until God stayed his hand and he told him to cease and desist. Then you had the widow of one of the prophets who was about to lose her children to a creditor. And finally, you have the Shunammite woman who was given a son for her faithfulness, only to have him taken away from her at a young age. In each case, these people received their children back. Now, that's not to say, and that's no guarantee, that believers will always be so lucky, or that they will always have such successful outcomes. In our readings today, they did. But the author of a letter written to Messianic Jews living in the first century, who was observing the life of the faithful throughout biblical history, wrote this. He said, women received back their dead by resurrection. By the way, he was probably referring to the son of the Shunammite widow. But he says there, women received back their dead by resurrection, but others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. Not all of the faithful were and are so fortunate as these were in our passages today. But I believe that God takes care of and ministers to those who are his own. Realize that the stories that we read today in 2 Kings chapter 4 is set against the backdrop of an apostate nation, Israel, at the time. And so while the population at large didn't experience the miraculous workings and divine interventions, these two godly women did. That's the message of our Haftorah this morning. God cares for and ministers to his faithful followers in their tragedies, in their times of loss, in their misfortune, and in their difficulties. It is foolhardy to try to go it on your own. And prosperity. In every circumstance, learn of being filled and having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Shira, my prayer for you this morning is that you would be like those incredible women of faith and that you might pattern your life after them. When they experienced great trials, they didn't run from God, they ran to God. He's always there, ready to receive any who would come to him humbly in faith. He is always ready to receive you, Shira. Don't ever be afraid or too proud to go to him. He loves you, and he is able to miraculously provide for you in your time of need and in your time of trouble. Amen. At this time, we'll continue in our service to conclude it. And I would like you to turn with me in our Siddur to page 13 as we continue with the full Kaddish.
Yitzkadal Yitzir Hashemei Rava. V'yom Adi Verach Yitzhei V'yom Lich Mokutei. V'chaye Chonu V'yom Echonu Chayin Echol Beit Yisrael. V'agalav V'zman Kari V'yim Veru. Amen. Yehei Shmei Rava Mevorach. V'yolam Ulol Me'omaya. Yitbarach. V'yishtabach V'yipar V'yitram Amit Nasei. V'yidhadar V'yitala V'yitala Shemei Dekudusha. V'richu. V'yela min tol mirchata v'shirata. Tush b'chata v'nechamata. Damiron mi'alma v'yim v'ru. Amen. Tizkabel slot honu v'ar honu chol beit Yisrael. Kodam avu honu v'yishmaya v'yim v'ru. Amen. Yehei shlomo rabba min shemayim. V'chayim aleinu v'yalko Yisrael v'yim v'ru. Amen. Ose shalom imramam. Hu yase shalom aleinu. V'yalko Yisrael v'yim v'ru. Amen. And would you turn with me to page 15 as we continue with the congregational singing of Ein Keloheinu. Ein Keloheinu, Ein Kadoneinu, Ein Kimalkeinu, Ein Kimoshienu, Mi Keloheinu, Mi Kadoneinu, Mi chemakeinu, mi chemoshienu. No del Eloheinu, no del Adoneinu, no del Malkeinu, no del Moshienu. Baruch Eloheinu, Baruch Adoneinu, Baruch Malkeinu, Baruch Moshienu. Atahu Eloheinu, Atahu Adoneinu, Atahu Malkeinu, Atahu Moshienu, Atahu Shehitiru, Avoteinu, Lefanecha, Et Kitoret Hasamim. And I'll ask the congregation to rise at this time as we continue with the Aleinu, which you will find on page 17. Aleinu l'shabeach l'adon hakol l'atet yirula l'yotzer breshit shelo asanu kigoye haratzot velo samanu kimishpechot hadama shelo sam chelkeinu kahem v'gor aleinu kechol hamonam v'anachnu korim ומשתחבים ומודים לפני מלך מלכי המלכים הקדוש ברוך הוא ונאמר והיה אדוני למלך על כל הארץ ביום ההוא ביום ההוא יהיה אדוני אחד Ushema, Ushema, Ushema Echad. You may be seated. For all those who are observing the death of a loved one, or the anniversary, the yahrzeit of a loved one, please recite with me the Morning Kaddish. Please rise for those who are saying it, on page 18 in the Aramaic, and on page 19 in the English transliteration. Yitzgadal v'yitgadash shemei rabah. V'yalmari v'rach yirutei v'yamlich malchutei. V'chayechon v'yomechon v'chayechol beit Yisrael. V'agala v'izman kariv v'imro. Amen. Yehei shmei rabah mevorach le'olam ul'olme omaya. Yitbarach v'yishtabach v'yitpa'ar v'yitramam v'yitnasei. V'yithadar v'yithaleh v'yithalal shemei v'chudusha v'richo. V'yela minko birchata v'shirata, tushbechata v'nechamata, da'amiran v'alma v'imru. Amen. Yehei shlomo rabba min shemaya, v'chayim aleinu v'yalko Yisrael v'imru. Amen. Ose shalom imramav, hu yaseh shalom aleinu v'yalko Yisrael v'imru. Amen. You may be seated.
And at this time, I'm going to call forward Leonard DeBotten, who will share some announcements with us.
Shabbat Shalom. Congratulations to Shira. What a great job you did today. I can't remember the last time I heard such a lovely chanted Hatolah portion. So, great job. So, welcome to Beth Messiah. Beth Messiah is a messianic congregation of both Jewish and Gentile believers in Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth. We believe that Yeshua is the promised Messiah foretold in the Hebrew Scriptures, and that only by believing in Him do you have eternal life. If you have any questions about that, please see Rabbi Irving or myself after services. We have just a few short announcements. On Thursday, December 1st at 7:30 p.m., we'll be resuming the Berkeley Heights small group. That will be meeting the first and third Thursday every month. If you have any interest in attending that, please see myself after services. On Sunday, December 11th at 11:30 a.m., we'll be having the Women's Fellowship. It will be held at the DeBotten Home in Berkeley Heights. Please sign up and bring a covered dish to share, stews, soups, or casseroles. There's actually a flyer right on the back wall that has a little bit more details. If you'd like to sign up, you can see Tammy or Rose Spenchel. We have women's prayer every Thursday at 9:30 a.m. It's a call-in. Susan Salzman has that phone number if you'd like to join in and be a part of that. There's also congregational prayer, 9:45 a.m. every Saturday, in the prayer room downstairs. And we also have an email prayer chain. If you want to sign up on that, please let me know as well. For members and regular attendees of the congregation, we do have the push key in the back if you would like to make a donation. The Kiddush today is sponsored by the Salzman family in honor of Shira's Bat Mitzvah. And the family also wants to let you know, if you'd like to keep the programs, you're welcome to do that. Once the service is over, a few able-bodied men, we'd like you to move the first three seats from here going back away from the table on that side of the wall, and we'll stack them up on the back. So if you're able to do that, that would be great. Thank you.
At this time, we conclude the service with the singing of Adon Olam, which you can find on page 20 in our siddur.
Adon Olam Asher Malach Beterem Kol Yitzir Nivra Le'nasa Bechefto Kol Azai Melech Shemoni Kravi Achare Kiflot Hakol Levado Yimloch Nora Behu Haya Behu Hove Behu Yiyya Betifara Behu Echad Be'en Sheni Leham Shilo Lehaf Bira Beli Reishit Beli Tachlit Belo Haz Beham Isra Behu Eli Bechai Goli Betzur Chavli Beyetzara Behu Nisi Umanosli Benat Kosi Beyom Ekra Beyado Afkid Ruchi Be'en Ishan Miyaira Be'im Ruchi Geviyati Adonai Li Velo Ira.
Shabbat Shalom. Thanks to all for coming. Mazel Tov to Shira. Mazel Tov. Shabbat Shalom. Our service is now concluded. You're all welcome to join us for the Kiddush as soon as it starts. We will actually say the blessing over the challah and over the cup, and then we can partake after that. So please wait till we say the blessings together.